You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining her door.
Come over here, kid. Wait a second. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. And you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Hey, hey, delicious.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour. How are you doing this evening? It is Michelle and Jordan. Nice rain today, huh? I don't think it was so heavy that the grape growers are freaking out. I hope not. The farmer's market was really well attended, and it was nice to have that mist. And all the plants are very grateful, I think. Well, we have a great show tonight, and I want you to get a couple of things ready. Have a pencil so that you can take some notes about some events coming up. But we are in a membership pledge, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what yet. But we have a really great special thank you gift for one lucky person, and we'll be telling you about that about halfway through the show when we have Ty Jones of Handcar Regatta and the band Mr. December joining us. But first, we're going to a pretty timely topic, I think, hearing more and more about grass-fed meat, sustainable meat, where is your meat from, where is your chicken from, all that sort of thing. And there's a new book out, Good Meat, The Complete Guide to Sourcing and Cooking Sustainable Meat by Deborah Krasner. And on that note, welcome to Mouthful.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you're from Vermont, and you're out here promoting.
That's right. We've been doing a whole lot of events with slow food people in Marin, in Nicasio, in Mendocino, and Sonoma. And it's been wonderful because there's so much interest around here.
Before we talk about here, though, I have to go back to Vermont, and I have to say, when I saw the cover of your book, got Bernie Sanders to write the foreword. That is just so awesome.
It was thrilling that he wanted to do it, and he did such a great job.
Tell me how it came about.
Well, Vermont is a very small state,
yeah.
And so everyone in my family, myself, my husband, and my two children, and our dog, have marched with Bernie in parades and worked for Bernie's re-election over and over and over again.
Uh-huh.
So he knows who we are. And when we were trying to think of who should write the foreword for the book, my editor said, "We need somebody with gravitas. Let's get a politician. Who could you get?
Who do you know?"
So Bernie was the first person I asked, and he immediately said yes.
That's so great.
Yeah.
That is one of the, I'm sure, many benefits of living in a really small state.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how did you come to write the book? And is there a local meat industry where you are?
There's a local meat industry where anybody
everywhere in America,
it's just incredible. And that was part of how I came to write the book, was that I run culinary vacations in Vermont that I host, and people come and stay with me, and we cook together. And people started eating the grass-fed meat that I buy and serve, and they'd say, "Oh, this is like the way meat tasted when I was a kid," or "This is like dinner in France." And they'd get very excited, and the first thing that we do on the vacations is go to the farmer's market. And they would go and they would meet the farmers who raised the meat, and they would say, you know, can you ship it to California, Minnesota, Louisiana, wherever they were from? And these farmers would say, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
But then I had a guest from Minnesota who went back and found a farmer who was raising beef to the same grass-fed protocol. And she sent me his website and she said, you know, check it out. Is this the same? And I said, yes. And so she bought half a cow from him. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started realizing that this wasn't a Vermont phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It was really a national one. Mm-hmm. And then I discovered a wonderful website called eatwild.com where you can click on any state and scroll down and mm-hmm. see farmer after farmer who's eager to sell directly to anybody mm-hmm. who wants to buy their food.
It's like if you go, say, to the CSA website.
Exactly.
You know, you can click on any state and you'll see all the CSAs right. in a particular state. Right. Same thing.
Right. So when I realized that everybody could buy grass-fed and pastured meats, it made me understand mm-hmm. that we really needed to have information about, first of all, how to buy it, and then how to cook it, because mm-hmm. it cooks very differently.
Very differently. Now, one thing I'm curious about, because it's been my experience, it's very much grower or rancher specific.
The taste of each.
I know.
Absolutely.
I buy from one person up in Potter Valley, and his meats all have a flavor profile. I buy from somewhere else, you know, 30 miles away. Again, very different.
Right, because that has to do with both the way the animal's raised and the way it's transported to the processor and what happens mm-hmm. there, and the breed of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
And different cows taste differently.
Yeah.
Like, apples, you know, Macintosh and Delicious apples are mm-hmm. different. And so what I say in the book to people is, if you're new to grass-fed meat and you don't already have a local purveyor, try a couple of samples from a number of different mm-hmm. farms and see what pleases you. And, you know, let your taste be the final yeah. arbiter.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Sort of the advice I took. It's like, well, I don't like that one, but I like this one.
That's right.
Is there any principle, and I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, I think when it comes to learning how to cook grass-fed meat, again, it's breeds, but, you know, it's species-specific. You know, you can't talk to me about how to cook beef, and then I can't apply that to lamb because it's all different requirements.
Actually, I think the beef and the lamb requirements are similar.
Yeah,
pork is different, and uh-huh. I think poultry is different.
Uh-huh.
But the basic principle is that because grass-fed meat tends to be much leaner, mm-hmm. you need to cook it differently. And the first thing that you need to do is, if it comes in a cryovac package, take it out, wash it, dry it very well, and if you can, air dry it on a cake cooling rack, even in your refrigerator mm-hmm. for days on end, mm-hmm. essentially dry aging it so that it gets very, very dry.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, when it's exposed to heat, it will really respond to the heat.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you just dry it off very well before you start cooking, that's going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Then bring it to room temperature before you cook it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now we've got this raw piece of meat that's, you know, dry and room temperature. And then the next thing that you want to do is, if you're cooking it, if you're searing it, if you're making a steak or a burger or something that you're either doing on the stove or on the grill, do it at really, really high heat. I mean, use a cast iron pan, mm-hmm. heat it really hot, put coarse salt on it, wait till that coarse salt pops like popcorn, and then slam that piece of meat down.
Mm-hmm. And by the coarse salt, you mean put the coarse salt onto the hot pan.
Exactly.
And so, and then when it starts popping, that's
right.
when you put the meat on.
Right.
Yes.
And then... turn it in 4 minutes. The minute it's no longer sticking, turn it. And don't stick a fork in it when you turn it. Use tongs or a spatula and turn it and give it another 4 minutes, and then take it off, put it on a plate, and don't touch it for 10 minutes because it needs that time for basically for oven rise, for the heat to distribute through the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
and for the juices to redistribute so that it stays mm-hmm. succulent. And that resting time is the most
important
thing.
Yeah, that's really important. But I think the high heat is really...
But the point is that you don't want to cook it past medium rare.
Oh, absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And at the other end of the scale, if you're braising or making a uh-huh. stew or a pot roast, you want it to be at the absolute lowest heat. Because if you have too much heat under it, all the fat will cook right out of it, and mm-hmm. it'll just get leathery. So cook it very, very, very slowly, mm-hmm. better in an oven than a crock pot. You know, do it at 200 degrees for a really long time, and then it'll taste fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Now, for somebody who's shopping for grass-fed meat and is shopping with their eyes, you know, at the butcher counters that offer such things, and we have a couple of markets here with really good selections of grass-fed meats. What should somebody look for?
Well,
let's stay with beef for now.
Right. With beef, you can really, well, with all of these, actually, mm-hmm. you can really see the difference. And one of the events that we did at Long Meadow Ranch, we actually had pieces of raw meat side by side, and everybody mm-hmm. could see the difference. Mm-hmm. So grass-fed meat is deep red. It's intense. Mm-hmm. And it has fat that's slightly yellow and carotene-y, and it's not terribly marbled.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas conventional meat is limper and paler, and the fat is quite waxy and white.
Mm-hmm. But now, if you have two grass-fed steaks side by side, what differences might you see? I noticed one brand, let me think, Hicks Valley, I think they're calling it, and it's an in-house brand that's been developed by a market here. You may not know because it's only local, Oliver's Market, and they're working with a single producer out in Two Rock Valley, and they've branded this name Hicks Valley, and their steaks were actually quite marbled. They're grass-fed steaks.
Well, again, it's the breed.
Uh-huh.
So some breeds have more fat than others, mm-hmm. even on grass. And again, you know, you have to see if you like it or not.
Uh-huh.
And you also have to be sure that it's not grass-fed, grain-finished. I mean,
right.
It really needs
yes.
to be unambiguously 100%
yes. grass-fed. Not finished
yes.
on grain.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then what about chicken? What is chicken looking like around the country and in Vermont? I know that here I feel like we are... That's one of our great riches here. We have so many producers of great chicken in Sonoma County, and I've now started using Gleason Ranch. There's just nothing better. I am completely spoiled.
Well, I raise my own chicken.
Oh, you do? Oh, wow.
So I can tell you this from that perspective, uh-huh. which is quite different. And so I raise a kind of chicken called a Freedom Ranger. It's a red hen. There are pictures of it in the book. All the animals in the book are my animals except for the pigs and the cows. And all of the pictures in the book are at my house or around our land. And so... A chicken that's raised on pasture is a chicken that has a relatively small breast and really muscular thighs because it's a chicken that's walking around and scratching in the dirt.
That's what you want. You want those muscular thighs in
right.
a chicken.
Right. I think of them as ballet dancer chickens. You know, they're flat-chested. They have these big legs. And their depth of flavor is really extraordinary. But it also requires somewhat different cooking because mm-hmm. If you don't cook it well, it can be tough. And so I now often brine or pre-salt chicken before uh-huh. I cook it, either by immersing it in a salt bath or by lightly using the Judy Rogers method of mm-hmm. lightly sprinkling it with salt and leaving it overnight, again on a cake rack grid mm-hmm. so that air can circulate around it because mm-hmm. it gets the skin very tight mm-hmm. and nice to roast.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You also have, I was very pleased to see that you have a chapter on rabbit.
That's right.
Something controversial in Sonoma County. I get a lot of hate mail when I write about rabbit, but 100 years ago, it was a really important source of protein.
That's right, and it's a very easy animal to raise for meat because it breeds rapidly.
Yeah, and very low carbon footprint, we can say.
And it's an extremely lean meat, and mm-hmm. it's delicious, and it's a wonderful project.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you raise your own chicken?
I don't raise rabbits, but I do raise chickens.
You do? Okay, so.
And turkeys and guinea fowl and uh-huh. ducks and geese.
Now, are you able to get somewhat local rabbit where you are
yes,
in Vermont?
Yes, and that's how I discovered rabbit. It was uh-huh. at my farmer's market.
Uh-huh. So tell us about that. We're starting to see, finally, rabbit at a couple farmers markets now and then, but also at a couple of local markets.
Right.
Now, the Pacific markets, you can find rabbit, and possibly at Oliver's as well. So tell us a little bit. I think everyone needs to relearn about cooking rabbit.
Well, actually, we had some delicious rabbit earlier today at the event in Nicosia, the slow food event, that Mark Pasternak of Devil's Gulch.
Devil's Gulch, yeah, Mark has been on Mouthful.
Made. It was just wonderful. So the thing about rabbit is, because it's so lean, you have to add fat to it. And one way to do that is to cover it, is to wrap it in bacon. Another way is to braise it very slowly. The dish we had today was rabbit with red wine and prunes, and it was divine. There are a number of wonderful rabbit recipes. I think there are 20 rabbit recipes in all in the book.
And that's I have it with mustard.
Right.
It's just one of my favorite ones.
And, well, there's an amazing one called Red Rabbit, which is made with chorizo and pimentón de la Vera, that wonderful smoked Spanish paprika. And it's
chorizo.
So
makes
favorite.
Anything taste good.
Yeah.
And we have very good local chorizo here as
I've
well.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Yeah, really good producer. You may have met him. Franco Dunn is Franco's Sausages, and he just does really, really great chorizo. How long did it take you to gather the information? I mean, this is a big book. You've got 200 recipes and a lot of photographs. And a lot of information.
Pages. Yeah. Well, I've been working on it for a long time and thinking about it for a long time, but it was actually probably 3 years get it to this stage.
Uh-huh. And it's just out, right?
Yeah, it came out September 1st.
Uh-huh. And locally here in Sonoma County, where can people get the book?
It's in every bookstore.
It is in every bookstore. Yeah. And then do you have a website? Do you have somewhere on the internet where you recommend people go if they can't find it where they are?
Well, they can certainly buy the book from the Abrams Publishing website.
Oh, okay.
Or from Amazon.
But Abrams
yeah.
Publishing.
Yeah. But
easy for you to say.
Exactly. I forgot what I was going to say.
I was just asking, where can you get it? And
right.
Do you have a website?
I have a website for my culinary vacations, which is culinaryvermont.com.
Culinary Vermont. You know, we've got a few minutes left. Tell us real quickly. Maybe somebody's taking a trip to Vermont.
I actually have a lot of people from California.
I've never been there. And I've been very close when I was in upstate New York. But I've never been there, and I know so many people who have, and it just sounds so beautiful.
It is a beautiful place. And so people come and live with me for 5 or 6 days, and I have 5 bedrooms, so it's never more than 7 people. And we cook together. We cook 2 multi-course meals a day together, and we do culinary excursions. So we go to the farmer's market. We go visit Mountain Shepherd, which makes Vermont Shepherd cheese, which is a sheep milk cheese. So we watch the sheep being milked, and we tour the Cheese Cave. We go visit Larry Burdick, who is a chocolatier, and we taste amazing chocolate. And so people get a real sense of the place, of what's in season, of how to cook sustainably and locally. And for all of us, it's a very intense and happy experience.
Mm-hmm. And how far in advance do you book up?
Pretty far, actually. Yeah, and I also do it in Italy twice a year, in Sicily and Tuscany.
In Sicily?
Yes.
We love Sicily.
I was hearing about love and Sicily.
Yes, Sicily is... Sicily is a magical place. I always say about Sicily, if you took all of Italy and put it into a big pot and then boiled it for about 24 hours, what's left in the bottom is Sicily.
That's wonderful.
Just Italy reduced and intensified. Well, Deborah, I know that they've been working you very hard since you've been here, and I really appreciate you taking time out after your event down in Nicosia to be here. And Good Meat, The Complete Guide to Sourcing and Cooking Sustainable Meat. It is $40. You get a lot of money for $40. That is a heavy
book. It's a good value, isn't it?
It really is. It's a big, heavy book. Well, good luck with it.
Thanks so
much. Really good luck with it. And thank you again for stopping by. We're going to do a little switcheroo here on Mouthful, and we will be back in a couple of minutes with Ty Jones of Handcar Regatta and Mr. December. It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. We're just going to jump right in with our guests, but I do want you to take down the number if you don't know it already, 584-2020. We're going to ask you to call in just a little bit and renew your membership, become a member, make a donation. That special thank you gift I told you we would have, it is two VIP tickets to the Handcar Regatta. Ty Jones will be talking about what it means to have VIP tickets to a free event. They are worth $100 each, and when you at the $120 level, the first person to ask for them will get those two tickets, a $200 value, plus all the other things you get from KRCB. But don't call about that yet. We're going to talk a little bit first, and then we'll take a break for some calls. Ty,
hi.
First of all, how long have you been in Sonoma County?
Oh, 10 years.
That long? Okay, because to people who discovered you and the Handcar Regatta at the same time, it was like you just blew into Sonoma County and caused this wonderful ruckus.
Well, I was hiding in West County for a really long
time.
I was hiding Sebastopol.
Really?
Okay. I owned a nightclub in San Francisco for a really long time.
And what nightclub?
Townsend.
Okay.
And when I stopped doing Townsend, I went to the Boondocks and hid.
Hid, okay. So. And then you came out, and 3 years ago is when Handcar Regatta started,
right? 3 years
ago,
that's right, yeah.
And for people who have been living under a rock ever since, will you explain what it is?
What is the Handcar Regatta? Well, ostensibly, Handcar Regatta is an arts and music festival. Spring Maxfield and I, we both went to Sonoma State together, and she and I sort of are the producers, along with a great group of founding members. But it sort of is, you know, most people know the Old West movies where they'll see a train car and, you know, like a workman's car and these two guys standing on a wood platform and pumping it. And that's traditionally what a handcar has been. And there's handcar races all over the country. So it's a sort of thing that's been known for a long time. Ours tends to be bike based. And so those abandoned rail lines that SMART will be on at some point in Railroad Square, we have a bunch of artists and builders and makers and crafters that actually build mechanical contrivances. Contraptions that run on those rail lines, and so they race each other. It's the last Sunday of the month.
And when you say they build these things and race them, if you haven't seen one, when you do see one, they just take your breath away.
They do, right.
They're so beyond anything one needs to transport oneself. They're so whimsical and smart and quirky and exuberant. And
yes.
One came to a party. Well, several came to a party on South A Street.
Right.
And one of them, I just remember these bronze skulls with fire coming
out of them. Those are the founding. That's the other founding members of the Handcar Regatta. And that car, the Hennepin Crawler, is the inspiration car. I met David Farish one day, and that was the car that sort of sparked all this gasoline about an arts festival in Sonoma County.
Oh, really? That one already existed.
That one already existed. That had been going out to, I think that was its second year. It had been out to the Playa once before Burning Man, for those who don't know. It had been out to Burning Man, and there's a lot of vehicles like that at Burning Man.
One can imagine.
And that one had then come back from Burning Man and had been modified to run on the rail lines. And that was, I ran into them, was just a sort of this weird meeting, and then the whole thing just exploded out of that one chance meeting.
Uh-huh. A lot of things happen like that.
Chance
meetings.
Chance meetings.
The world has
changed
on chance meetings.
Yes. Yeah, and desire. I think, you know, Spring and I both had desire to do an arts festival. We wanted to do something different. You know, Sausalito's great, but we wanted to, and there's a lot of those artists that already live here. There's the music here. There's the art here. You know, Brian Tedrick and all those guys. I mean, they all live here. So it just sort of all exploded together.
That first year, 3 years ago, what was your sense about attendance?
Oh, my gosh. And that's the other thing. So chance meetings and having no clue what you're doing I had produced events, but I don't think we had any idea that it would resonate so deeply with people.
It was like an atomic explosion.
Right.
It just like
blew up.
Caught fire instantly.
Right. I mean, we were thinking we would have been happy if there had been like 10 cars and 500 or 1,000 people. I mean, that first year it ended up somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000, and there were 28, 30 cars. So it just took off, and it was just like there's all this pent up what, creativity and desire for something different.
Yeah. And then last year was a really, really, really hot day.
It was 106 in downtown Santa Rosa. It was hot.
And that's why I was not there.
Oh, no. Oh, that's right. You told me that.
No way.
You know, it wasn't bad. After a while, it was surreal. It was so hot that you just sort of, you know, you don't.
I was probably home crying.
You're crying.
Which is what
right,
I do when
right.
it's that hot.
So that was 8,000 to 10,000 people last year, and this year we're planning for somewhere between 10,000 and 15,000.
Really?
And it looks like the weather, if the weather stays 80 degrees, I mean, that's what, you know, last year it was 8 to 10 and it was 106.
You would have had 20.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Now, what about the food element? I was reading through some of the things that are going to be. Because there's, you know, you have that many people together, you got to provide food for them in some way.
There's the merchants on 4th Street, so there's lots of really great restaurants.
And do the merchants stay open?
They're all open, and so there's all that food. And then, you know, we're really picky about who comes and serves. You know,
That's a good thing.
It is a very good thing. We really want, you know, that sort of farm to table and local. And so, you know, there's Gerard's Paella, and Bistro 29's coming, and he's making a veggie sandwich. Kashaya's doing pizza.
Kashaya's pizzas are fabulous.
Fabulous. Let's see, Super Burger, which I, you know, love a good burger. Lotta's coming. Do you know Lotta from the Farmer's Market? She does samosas and stuff.
Oh, yes, yeah. Lotta. Yes.
Really great stuff.
Yes, I would want to have her on Mouthful at some point.
And then Street Eats. Do you know them? Street Eats?
Yes.
The truck. She's coming. Oh, my gosh.
And there's another taco truck, too, right?
There's three this year.
Three taco trucks.
There's La Texanita.
Texanita, yes.
And Fork Catering is bringing. I can't remember what Fork is. Fork is doing some like a salmon BLT. So I mean, that's kind of the kind of style of food, you know. The one thing we're doing is there's the fabulous Frickle Brothers. Okay, I was somewhat skeptic about fried pickles. I thought, how this is going to be. What bad? Oh, my God. This is the best food that there is there. We saw them at Rivertown Revival. They're these deep-fried tempura dill chips. They are out of this world.
Yes, I've heard and heard. I have not yet tried one.
You will have them next week.
Yes. Okay. I will. So the races themselves take place there on the tracks.
On the tracks.
And one car races another car.
And they do. Hopefully.
And how long is each race?
Well, the track is 700 feet, and ideally they will race each other. That has not always been the case. Sometimes there is a spectacular failure where one car will continue and one won't. And then there's also the car that will finish 4 or 5 minutes after the other one. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it sort of depends on how you're doing it. But the race, if it's a good sort of a speed race, it's over in, I don't know, about a minute.
Yeah,
45 seconds.
Yeah.
They're cooking.
Yeah.
So.
And can you actually, you know, with 10,000 people, can you get close enough to actually see them?
No. You know, there's.
But you'll see some. People will come and go. There'll be an ebb and flow.
There's two sides of the tracks. You know, you can stand on the west side and the east side. Mm-hmm. So you can get a large amount of people. And oddly enough, the farther back you get, you can actually see it.
Mm-hmm. Do people come on stilts?
People come on stilts.
I thought they might.
There's jugglers. There's buskers. There's all sorts of. There's music and stages and. It's a strange. The thing that's coming up, it's like the universe next door. This is the strange circus in the universe next door. If the Old West had gotten just crazy, this is what it is.
People dress
a lot.
People wear a lot of bloomers.
A lot of bloomers.
And suspenders.
And suspenders. And
corsets.
Corsets and little hats.
Yes,
and
hats.
Love the little hat. There was a little hat brigade last year. This year the theme is India. So,
oh, dear. It's India?
India.
Do I have to get out one of my old saris?
Saris are great. I went shopping yesterday and got this really sort of saffron-colored, really beautiful outfit.
Wow.
So, it's going to be.
So tell us why India and how that theme wraps around
Well, India, you know, it's a Dr. Erasmus P. Kitty's handcar regatta, right? So Dr. Erasmus P. Kitty is a Santa Rosa dentist from the 1880s who was born in the Bay of Bengal during this hurricane. And then he ended up in Santa Rosa where he practiced dentistry. This is not real, in case anyone's wondering.
Oh, come on. Sure, it's real in the universe next door.
It's real in the universe we live in. So he's just travels around the world. It's sort of, you know, around the world in 80 days. And so he's just, we're just going wherever seems interesting one year.
Okay.
And so it's like, okay, you know.
So you're sort of celebrating, honoring the birthplace of the founder.
Yeah, this year. And then we already know where we're going next year.
And you're not going to tell us yet, are you? Are you?
Well, it's probably going to be the American West. So these great, you know, these sort of great world themes of, but yes, next year, I know this is probably scaring to death everyone at the regatta right now, but yes, we're already on to next year. So.
Okay. Well, I think what I want to do is start to encourage people to call. Maybe I'll even get Lawrence to, no, I guess I'm not going to get Lawrence to talk about it. I'm going to encourage people to call, and then we're going to turn it over to Mr. December for a song or two, and you can call while you are being entertained. So if you've listened to Mouthful for a while, or KRCB, or any public station, you know what this is all about. We're here because you're there and because you give us money. And we come to you, I think, 3 times a year asking. And you only have to give money once a year. That's your membership. It's good for a year. There are lots of packages starting at the basic level, $40. And that's really, I've always called it the heart and soul level, because the majority of members of any public radio station are the $40 members, people in the community who just really say, I love my public radio. I can afford $40. And, you know, you get certain things. You get membership this time in the Arts Council of Sonoma County. You get a set of note cards or postcards by local artists. You get a calendar from Pomegranate Communications, a local publishing company that does nice calendars and cards. And you get a certificate for a 10-ounce can of coffee from TaylorMade Farms. All that for your $40 package. There are lots of other levels, and there are people standing by who will tell you about each level, should you need to know. The number to call is 584-2020, by the way. That's 584-2020. Be sure to add an area code 707 if you are listening online out of the area. There's a great t-shirt from KRCB this time, Curiously Original Radio. It's really cool. You can go to KRCB.org and just take a look at that t-shirt. I think we even have women's cut as well as standard cut.
Very nice.
Yes. And then at the $120 level, that has been traditionally called the angel level, and I still like to call it, I mean, it's nice when someone calls you an angel, don't you think, Ty?
I like being an angel.
I like being an angel. So at the $120 level, there is one, and this is just one set of one pair of VIP tickets to the Handcar Regatta. They are $100 each. That is a $200 value. You also get a KRCB t-shirt. And all of the basic, everything in the basic package. So 584-2020, that first person to call, again, 584-2020, gets those two VIP tickets. And before we turn it over to Mr. December, you're going to tell us what the VIP tickets get you.
Right.
Because it's a free event.
It is. It's a free. Well, it is. It's a dollar donation this year. We have this whole, we have the Imaginists helping. We have this whole imaginary gate. It's a dollar. But the VIPs are much like your sort of base members. We looked at the community to help us put this event on. So this, they have trackside viewing in a great tent. They have food by a sizzling tandoor. They have belly dancers, and they have wines from Rodney Strong, D'Argenzio, and Kendall Jackson. Lots of really great food. Shade. Lounge.
Shade.
Michelle's famous word.
Yes, shade. Means you don't have to carry your parasol.
So they get to come in there, and they actually get to stand right next to the track. So cool. Munch a little food and lay on little sofas, and that's where I'll be with you, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
So that number is 584-2020, and I think we're going to hear something from Mr. December, and I'm assuming you brought these two fine young men with you.
I did.
Because they will be playing at the Handcar Regatta.
Well, they're just very handsome, which I thought I thought that was a good enough reason. Well, it's late. It's late in the day, but yes.
Okay, it's all yours, guys.
All right. We're going to start this one off. This is called Shimmy Shammy. And here it is.
It's the brass in your laugh and the breeze that you make. It's the path that you take when you're rocking your roller skates. Well, I love you, baby, and that's a fact. And I'm standing right here so you can love me back. That's why I shimmy, 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 shimmy over to you. That's right, I shimmy, 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 shimmy.
Mr. Mr. December live in the studio here on Mouthful. You know what? Those two VIP tickets to the Handcar Regatta special viewing tent with food, wine, and your own belly dancers are still available. 584, somebody started to buy them and they didn't. 584, or not buy them, to subscribe at that level and be gifted them. 584-2020 is the number. That's 584-2020 is the number. If you just stumbled across the station, if you don't aren't really all that familiar with Mouthful, let me just explain something that will perhaps get you a little closer to that phone. I have been doing the show for almost 15 years, coming up on my 15th anniversary. I'm a volunteer. The only money involved in Mouthful is what I end up spending, because there's always things that I want to do for the show and I can't resist, whether it's buying money or just doing various things. I'm out in the community a lot. We do shows live from farmers markets and at other locations. We have Lawrence Alberti here, who has been Mouthful's engineer for, gosh, what, 3 years now? 4 years, Lawrence?
Seven.
Oh, God. Time flies when you are having a blast. Currently, I am also producing the show myself. And what a producer does is find the guest, call the guest, email the guest, send directions to the guest, does everything to actually get the guest here in the studio. So at this point, Mouthful is really a two-person operation. It's Lawrence and I, a lot of people behind the scenes, of course, have to make all the equipment be here and available for us. And then Mouthful is posted as a podcast in three locations. It's available at krcb.org. It is also available at npr.org and at iTunes. You can actually subscribe for free by going to iTunes, just entering Mouthful in the search bar. My little face will pop up like a postage stamp. And you hit subscribe and it is delivered. You don't even have to listen to it. It's just delivered into your podcast folder whenever new ones are posted. I'm very accessible. You can send me emails asking about anything. You can even like Mouthful on our Facebook page, which is just Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour at Facebook. Last time I checked, we had 357. I like it better when they were called fans. I'm still going to call it fans. So that's just a little bit about the history of Mouthful. We have received 4 James Beard nominations, and that has put us in a category we have not won. But when we're up there and they're playing excerpts and people are listening to excerpts and listening to our little sound collage that's our theme at this point, we're there next to people like Daniel Swarenstein, I think it's Warrenstein, a reporter from National Public Radio, who won 1 year when we were also nominated, and he should have won. He did a very important interview with Temple Grandin, who's done so much for the meat industry and slaughterhouse industry to make it a humane process. He did a really excellent 9-minute interview, highly edited and polished, as everything on National Public Radio is, and with tons of people. They have a big staff. Just the fact that we were nominated and up against a show like that is pretty darn cool, I think. And we've always been, with our 4 nominations, we've been up against really good shows with big budgets. So you're getting a lot of bang for your buck out of Mouthful is what I'm saying. 584-2020 is the number. $10 a month is what it would take for you to get those 2 VIP tickets to the Handcar Regatta, which themselves are worth $200. And on that note, can we get another song?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. And, you know, I just have to say, it's such a pleasure to be in the studio with a stand-up bass and an ukulele together. It's two of my favorite. It's a favorite combination. Yeah. And right at the end there, you snuck in almost with a little falsetto, which was really nice to hear. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I can slip that in a little bit.
Yes, if you want. You know,
absolutely.
This guy's really good at falsetto because he sings in
well,
a glam
I'm a
rock
real
band.
fan of Hawaiian music, and I dance hula and all the Hawaiian falsetto. You know, that's the epitome of Hawaiian music to me is Hawaiian falsetto. I like any kind of falsetto. And that number, 584-2020, you can still call and listen to music at the same time.
All right. You can play Luna or Money?
This is a song called Money Disappears off our forthcoming album.
Three disappears. Money disappears. Money disappears. You can collect a lot, but you'll probably not keep it in your pocket for many years. Money disappears. Money disappears. Money disappears. You can collect a lot, but you'll probably not keep it in your pocket for many years. At me a home in Northern California is where I chose to lay my head. And so many things, well, I grew to adore them. Just how they'd be paid for could not be said. It could not be said. Money disappears. Money disappears. Money disappears. You can collect a lot, but you probably not keep it in your pocket for many years. Began working hard like my daddy's daddy taught. And tried to save at least 10%. But after my bills and all the food for my family, the rest went straight to my good government. My good government's. Cause money disappears. Money disappears. Money disappears. Money disappears. Money disappears. You can collect a lot, but you probably not keep it in your pocket for many pocket, for many pocket, for many years.
Mr. December, live in the studio. Sounds great, guys. Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Sure. My name's Jimmy Horn.
And I'm Andy. Hi.
Yeah. Andy, do you have a last name?
I'm Andy Tester.
Andy Tester. That's where did name. The name Mr. December come from?
Ooh. One of our favorite films, yeah.
Brain Candy by Kids in the Hall. Yeah. It's a pretty silly inside joke, but...
okay.
Yeah. It's entirely silly.
Jimmy is Mr. March, I'm Mr. July, and together we're Mr. December, basically.
Okay.
It doesn't really... It doesn't compute, but...
Yeah. It's okay. It doesn't have to.
It's a movie worth checking out.
It's actually ancient Sanskrit for potent... That's the best I can do. I'm sorry.
When is your album coming out?
As soon as we finish it.
We're really excited about it, though. We've tracked almost everything. We're going to throw a few more layers on there, and then we're going to, you know.
Can we get you to come back?
Oh, for sure.
When the album's out, you can come on to my music. I do a music show on Friday nights.
Please, yes.
Sure. We'll talk about it, definitely. Well, we're going to go back to more talk about the Handcar Regatta now. I don't know if we're going to have time for another song, but we might if we talk really fast, Ty. So we're going to do a little microphone switcheroo here. Okay, Lawrence, you're so fast. Yes. You're so good. Back to the Handcar Regatta.
Yes.
What time does it start?
11 o'clock, Sunday, the September 26th, which it's always the last Sunday.
Yes, you know, and that is also Brian Ferry's birthday.
Is it?
Yes.
Wow.
Perhaps that might inspire someone's costume.
Yours?
Well, I always wanted to be a backup singer for Brian Ferry, for Roxy Music.
Okay, there you go.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But so 11 o'clock and it ends at 6?
It ends at 6. The races start at noon. They'll take about 5 hours.
Mm-hmm. So. Now, if you're expecting between 10 and 15,000 people, let's talk a little bit about parking.
Parking. Well, the city of Santa Rosa has a lot of parking garages on the east side of downtown, and we encourage mm-hmm. people to park in there. And it's probably easier in a lot of ways to go up to College and get off at College, which is actually past mm-hmm. Railroad Square,
yes.
and get off and try to come back down that 3rd Street. What is that? The 3rd Street exit. Is the main yeah. downtown exit, uh-huh. but that's a little tough. Sometimes.
If you want to park at Railroad Square,
mm-hmm.
that's, what time do you recommend getting there? 10? Or 9?
All of the parking at Railroad Square is actually probably going to be filled by about 8 o'clock in the morning
okay.
with just the volunteers and yeah. stuff. And, you know, we do have the Bicycle Coalition doing bike parking. So we have a bike parking for about 1,100 or 1,200 bikes. So
oh, cool.
you can...
So if you come on your bike, you'll find
you
someone. Bike,
uh-huh. No, you can take the bus. And, you know, I would really encourage people to park in the parking garages that are on the east side uh-huh. of the freeway.
Yeah, there's several there.
Right.
Yeah, there's the one
there's
on 3rd Street, one on 7th Street.
Right. There's a couple on 7th, and then we have parking information on the website, which is handcarregatta.com. Okay.
You also have a Facebook page.
We have a Facebook page, that's right. We have a Facebook page, we have a Facebook group, we have a Facebook profile.
Now, are you still looking for volunteers?
We are. We could probably use about 40 more volunteers. The big thing right now is if you love tearing stuff down, we have lots of that to do at the end of the day. And you can go, again, to handcarregatta.com, and off on the right-hand side, about 2 or 3 inches down on the page, it says, say something about volunteering. And you can click on that. Somewhere it's there. The page is scrolling by. There it is. So there's a place, and you can go on there and sign up, and it lists all the jobs, and we have everything broken down by hour. And mm-hmm. yeah, if you can come for an hour, it's great. If you come for
oh,
the
okay.
whole day, it's
so
great.
People can volunteer for an hour.
Yeah, that's great. You know, anything to support
oh, that's
the
cool.
arts. Yeah. So,
tell us about trash pickup.
Trash pickup. refuse roustabouts in Regatta Land, handled by a very lovely friend of yours.
Yes, Mary Jarvis.
Yes, she's an artist.
Painter.
Yes.
Yeah, really, really great painter. Yeah. She told me she volunteered. It's been months.
Yeah,
I got
yeah.
she volunteered to be in charge of trash.
We have the most glamorous trash crew in the county. Oddly enough, for an event this large, you know, it's a really great crowd. We don't mm-hmm. have a ton of problem with it, the site getting mm-hmm. dirty. You know, people, we have tons of trash cans, and those are provided by the city of Santa Rosa along with the Port of Luz. And so it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where does the, you must get sponsors coming in with decent amounts. I mean, I would think this is a really expensive event to put on.
It's very expensive. It's getting more expensive as everything like this tends to do. We have added a lot of new sponsors. One of our principal sponsors, and they have been for the last, well, they're a sponsor slash beneficiary, is the Imaginus Theater Collective.
Oh, and they're so great.
They're so great. And they're handling, they're doing our dollar donation. You know, and it's not really a donation. I mean, the idea is that you're giving a dollar to support the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And you can give a dollar or you can give $5. But you know, during these kinds of times, these are not the times to stop supporting the arts. Oddly enough, this is the time.
No, this is the time to support them more.
Support them more.
Yeah.
And then we have really great. We added Friedman Brothers. Barry Friedman and his family came on this year, mm-hmm. and so Friedman's is a really big sponsor this year. And then the Seroptimist, which is a women's
organization. Yeah.
Yeah. They came on, of course Lagunitas, who has been with us from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. There's beer and wine available, right?
There's beer and wine, and. Again, Kendall Jackson, which has mm-hmm. have been with us from the beginning.
Now, do you have to be in a special place to enjoy beer and wine, or do you just have to have a
You just
ID
have
bracelet?
To have a wristband. We have uh-huh. a really great relationship with the city of Santa Rosa and the police department, and they actually do allow you to walk around through the whole event.
That's great.
So you don't have to stay sort of corralled.
Stay in your little playpen.
You do not.
Drink
no.
your beer really fast.
No, we like that. I mean, because it gives, you know, parents a chance to go
yeah.
with their kids to the kids area. I mean, we have a really great kids area where...
what kind of things happen at the kids
The Children's
area?
Museum is going to be there.
Oh, great.
Friedman's is actually running a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
We have an opportunity stage where people will be giving small little demos. Friedman's is going to do a canning demo. We have this whole sort of urban farm, uh-huh. urban homesteading stuff that we're starting.
Oh, cool.
So What is that?
Oh, I'm making a simple sentence. Short.
Short. Short. Oh, because okay. Do we have time for one more? Is that what can you? Is that what you were going to do?
I was going to see if they could play us out.
Play us out?
Because we have to. We end early on Mouthful because we have another live show coming in.
Right.
So I usually have my outro theme song for the transition. But let's just run through it one more time. Hanka Regatta Sunday.
Sunday, September 26th, 11 to 6. Grab your kids. Grab your parents. It's very family.
Grab your costumes or not.
Grab your costumes. Don't bring your pets. It's way too hot. It's way too crowded.
And you can go to HankarRegatta.com.
Just look it up, but come down. It's a really great Santa Rosa original event.
And if you want to have the best viewing area, you can still call 584-2020 with a $120 membership pledge to KRCB. You get two tickets worth $200, $100 each. You get two tickets plus all the other thank you gifts. We have just one pair of those tickets. They're going to the next person who calls $120, 584-2020. We're going to have Mr. December take us out. Meet me back here next week when I'll be tired from the Hankar Regatta, but in a good mood. Ty Jones and Guy, Jimmy and Andy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's all yours.
Beneath the tree, starlight, you and me, wondering if we will be something that will last into the spring. But how will we ever know? Things grow only how they grow. It's true, it's like you said, leaves fall even when they're red. I tried my best, and I will try again. You said something.
Community-powered radio for the North Bay. This is KRCB-FM in Santa Rosa.
Some beans and some flip cornbread.